الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Basically, what the Shaykh was trying to indicate is that today I will not be translating the khutbah which he just delivered, even though it is very important. But what he considers to be more important is the previous khutbah, which was, I believe, the one on 28th of Safar, concerning the affairs of the family in Islam, since he sees it as more important, and it is extremely important. We will translate this one, and inshallah the one that was delivered today will be translated at a future time, not the following week, because the following week I will be occupied elsewhere, but the one after bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. The khutbah which he had delivered some time ago, the Shaykh had begun the khutbah by mentioning that the establishing the family in Islam is part of our deen and something that is closely related to the well-being of the ummah. The successful marriage is the one that has clear goals, and it is the household which allows the teachings of Islam to govern the affairs of the household. And the basic principle is every single conflict which we have in our family or in our families, in our households, primarily has to do with the Muslims not implementing the teachings of Islam. That's the most basic idea. People favor culture, people favor their nation, people favor their philosophy. So every time there's a conflict between the husband and the wife, or the father and the children, or the mother and the children, and you present the Islamic solution, people tend to ignore that and say, yeah, well, akhi, back home, if this happened, then this is what we do. In my country, if the wife did this, then the husband does that. But you say, but akhi, this contradicts the teachings of Islam, and it contradicts the statements of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Even though you say that, people will still insist that they want to resolve their issues according to culture, or what we know as traditionalism. Tradition. This is our tradition. So the Arabs have their own tradition, and the subcontinents have their own tradition, and the Malaysians have their own tradition, and if we go on, everybody does it their way. And so the Sunnah and the Quran are set aside, and we try to fix problems according to what we think is right and what we think is wrong. And you know what, quite frankly, neither our countries nor our intellect are sufficient to guide us in these matters. It is Al-Hakim, the most wise, who legislated for the Ummah how to deal with these issues. And only Allah knows what is practical and suitable, even if the people don't agree. This is because there's a problem in their understanding, but there's no problem in the deen of Allah. The Shaykh went on to mention that there are many problems that are surrounding and afflicting our households, which is causing the family members to separate from one another, and the children turn out to be victims. There's lack of love, lack of compassion, lack of security in the house. And many of the problems that the parents have wind up affecting the children one way or another. So they either get involved in drugs, or they meet up with evil friends, or they wind up chasing women, let alone the fact that we have been invaded, not militarily, even though we have been invaded militarily, but we have been invaded in our household with the television set. And even though many among those who don't strictly follow the Sunnah say that the TV is the one-eyed Dajjal, this is wrong. Okay, the Dajjal was the Prophet ﷺ had described. When he comes, the people will know him. It is not the TV set, but the TV set can potentially be a 24-hour shaitan residing with you, unless you utilize it in a manner which is pleasing to Allah. And how little are those who do that? And many begin with the idea of, okay, only Islamic channels, I'm going to put you know, I know how to control the thing, and my children will have no access to other channels, and so on and so forth. And the shaitan, you know, allows them to begin in this fashion. Then slowly but surely, they start loosening up and being more lenient until they reach a point where the TV that is being played in the Muslim house is the same one being played in the disbeliever's house. There's no difference whatsoever between them. And don't ask about what will happen afterwards. I mean, if the TV is raising the children, then don't ask about the children. Because whatever you feed someone, they will take it in. Especially children, they're like clay. You know, you mold them a particular way, and they will remain in this fashion. So this TV, Bluetooth, these phones, you know, your child pretends to be an innocent young man. You know, dad, come on, give me this phone with this, you know, the Windows media player, and give me the phone with the Bluetooth. And you think that he's going to be transferring Word documents containing knowledge. But they do something else. I, as a person who has taught in schools, teaching children of various ages, I've confiscated so many phones from young children, ranging from the ages of 9, 10, and up to maybe 17, 18, with content on this phone that you will never believe. And his father at home has no idea what his son has on his phone. And so there's no control. There's no control. And all this is interrelated in this problem that we are having. The Shaykh said, if the relationship between the husband and wife is one which is based on compassion and love and mercy, then it will, without a doubt, affect the children, where they will again have the same kind of qualities which were instilled by their parents in dealing with one another. So the way the mom and the dad treat each other, it will affect the children, directly or indirectly. They've noticed, they pay attention, even if they're 3-4 years old. They're able to see how the husband treats the wife and how the wife treats the husband, and this will have an immediate effect on them. Whether the way they will wind up treating their parents, or the way they will treat their spouses when they grow up, or the way they treat their classmates or otherwise. All this will affect them. The brother, the Shaykh rahimahullah or hafizahullah said, and you may say rahimahullah to someone who's alive, so don't panic over here. He said that Allah Azza wa Jal had made this marriage among the greatest bounties among the children, upon the children of Adam. And Allah had explained clearly in the Quran the nature of the relationship. He said, and among his signs is that he created for you from amongst yourselves spouses, that you may find repose in them, and he placed between you mawaddatan wa rahma, compassion and mercy. Verily, in that are signs for people of understanding. So the Shaykh said, and such the husband and wife, each one of them should find tranquility in the other. And notice the term used here in the Quran, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And you all know the word second, which is what? The residence, the accommodation in which you live in. Sukkan, yaskun, sakana, and so on and so forth. So the term used in the Quran, which is among the, you know, of course, is from the miracles of the Quran and the eloquence in the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that the term used is second. When do you feel comfortable? At home. When do you take off your clothes? Can you take off your clothes and walk in the street? No. But you can do so, and I don't mean totally naked, even if you're wearing your pants and your shirt, your underpants and undershirt. You have no problem walking at home in this fashion, but you can't do it outside. Where can you put your feet up? Lie down on the couch and put your feet up. At home, can you do it in the street? Can you do it at work? Some people do it at work, even though it's not advisable that your mudir comes in while you're sitting on a chair with your feet on the table. You're taking a risk there. But the point being, a house is where you feel relaxed. And Allah said that the nature of the relationship between a man and his wife is that of second. That you relax, you find relaxation, you find tranquility, and not the other way around. Not the other way around, even though today our homes may be exactly the opposite way. So the Shaykh said, any marriage which is built on this foundation will most likely be consistent and will remain. And any marriage which does not have these conditions is bound to perish. is bound to perish sooner or later. And Allah Azza wa Jalla had clearly defined the relationship between the man and the wife. Concerning the man, He said, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in a befitting matter, in a befitting manner. Keep company with them according to what is acceptable, ma'roof, that which is good. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And if you hate them, if you hate some of the qualities that your wives have, perhaps you may hate something and Allah will place in that thing abundance of good. So you may dislike something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there's no good in this particular person. Furthermore, this has been reinforced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, the best of you are the best, are those who are best to their wives, and I am the best to my wives. The best among the Muslims are those who are best to their wives. As far as the woman's concerned, then it had been said to her by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the woman prays her 5 daily prayers and she fasts the month of Ramadan and she protects her private part and she obeys her husband, as long as he's telling her to obey Allah. If he tells her to disobey Allah, then she, there's no obedience to him either. Then she, it will be said to her, enter Jannah from whichever door you like. You know, for the men, you have to do many things. You have to be like Abu Bakr Siddiq to enter Jannah from any of the doors. The average one of us, if he makes it from a door, this will be great news. For the woman, it has been, she's been given that offer for her to pray 5 times a day, fast the month of Ramadan, protect herself, and obey her husband. But how many women today do that? Very few. Very few, unfortunately. Let alone, you know, the shopping, which is a whole other calamity that I've dealt with before. Then the Shaykh went on to say that the lives which we are leading, life in general, is full of complications. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ أَوْ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created the son of Adam in turmoil, in difficulty, in hardship. Life is not very simple. And naturally there will be conflicts between people because of cultures. For if you marry a woman, for example, from another culture, and it doesn't mean that this shouldn't be done, but many people go to extremes in that area, where we have 2 extremes among the Muslims. Those who marry anyone without taking into consideration the cultural variation, which may cause problems. I mean, if she cooks spicy food, and that's the only food she knows how to cook, and you don't like spicy food, what's going to happen later on if she's not willing to adjust? On the other extreme, people don't marry anyone except if they are from the same town and same village and with the same standards. And I've been in this position so many times. I get a father who comes and say, listen, I have some daughters who want to get married. Do you know any righteous brothers? Then I have another father who comes and say, I have a son who's looking for a righteous woman. Do you know any sisters? So I say, beautiful, you're looking for this one and you're looking for that one. Then I try to link them together. And then, you know, soon after, as soon as I give them numbers and they talk to each other, they say, brother, did you not know that we are from this place in this country and they are from that place in that country and we cannot get married? I said, why? Who said that? Who said that you... Zayd, an owned slave who was freed, married a Quraishi woman. There's no such thing in Islam. This is tribalism. Tribalism, my tribe and my people and my way, and you are something else, so we're not compatible. This is nonsense. If the husband is righteous, if the man is righteous, and the woman is righteous, khalas, bismillah, and let them get married. Any differences, we work them out. But we have to open our minds. Sometimes the women are oppressed. No husband comes around from that area where she lives, and the man cannot find a righteous woman because they don't have anyone in that same area. Tayyib, we should loosen up a little bit. Loosen up, let the people get married. Prophet ﷺ had encouraged people to get married. If they don't get married, they're going to go somewhere else. So which is worse? Marrying someone from another tribe or another country or another language or dialect? Or having the children fall into fornication and adultery? I mean, we have to make the choices here. And the reality is, there are many shayateen waiting to pick them up. If we don't open the door of marriage, they will go somewhere else, sooner or later. So it becomes an obligation on the father to fear Allah. You find a righteous man, work it out. Depend on Allah and work it out. Don't let this tribalism prevent you from doing what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh went on to say that the nature of the relationship, no man is free from deficiencies, obviously. And no woman is free from deficiencies either. Each one of us has his own set of problems. For example, if the husband is stingy, if he's miserly, and he's poor, living with him becomes difficult because he does not spend on his wife. The other extreme is that a woman is righteous, she's upon her deen, and her husband is careless. He doesn't pray, his whole house, you know, is full of satellite dishes, you know, and he makes life difficult for his wife who wants to obey Allah, and her husband can care less. And usually the ultimate consequence of such a marriage is what? Divorce. Because there's no consideration towards the others. This is why it is upon the parents to teach their children and guide them prior to them getting married about the etiquettes of marriage in Islam and the rights that the women have over the men and the rights that the men have over the women. Then the Shaykh mentioned some statistics that in this particular country, in 1 year there were 28,561 divorces. Okay. And that is equal to approximately the 78 divorces per day. Every day around 78 families are broken. And you only wonder why. You know, what's going on in the world? Because it turned into a business. A father wants to sell his daughter. That's what it is. A good man comes, a righteous man comes with little money in his pocket. No. But a rich man comes, a big doctor, even if he doesn't fear Allah, no problem. Because it's selling the daughter now. You know, we'll make money from this guy. He will pay more. So they give him a marriage, even if they don't get along. And the woman may want a good righteous man. Obviously the marriage is not going to succeed. And we get this all the time. Get them in emails all the time. Our, you know, poor sisters who married a man who's cheating on her. He leaves the laptop on. They come into the house and they find images of other women he's been with. Imagine what kind of, I've had sisters email me this about their fathers. Can you imagine how traumatizing this is for a child to find out that her father is not only cheating on his mother, on her mother, but he doesn't pray, he's careless, and the woman is sitting there suffering. And we have the other extreme from among the women. This is the reality of the families here in the kingdom. I'm not speaking about people outside. Don't ask about the Muslims outside. In this place where we're supposed to be more inclined towards Islam, where we should have more adherence to Islam, you won't believe the problems that are going on in our households. And so these are the results of what? Not allowing Islam to govern our lives. The Shaykh mentioned something very important, and due to the time I will go straight to it. He actually gave what can be counted as the characteristics of the good husband, and then the characteristics of the good woman, the good wife. And let's each one of us here who's married, or those who are looking to get married inshallah, evaluate himself according to these standards and see, are you a good husband, a good father, or are you not? First, the first quality of the man is that he should possess the quality of truthfulness and honesty. From the first moment, he doesn't hide a fault which he has from his wife. Before they get married, the woman has the right to know if he has some physical problem or otherwise. So he should inform the other family. They don't get married, then she gets shocked that he has some other problems. And this is ghish, this is cheating. So from the get-go, I have such and such problem. If she agrees, alhamdulillah. If she doesn't, Allah will give him someone better in return. Second quality is the one who treats his wife kindly and he honors her and her family. He honors her and her family, not the other way around. Don't speak to your mom. Don't speak to your father. And he makes her, you know, try to keep her away from her family. And today's lecture actually dealt a lot with the keeping the kinship ties. He's the one who's gentle to his wife. He plays with her. And he gives her what is rightfully hers in terms of halal and entertainment. He doesn't have excessive jealousy. where he's always doubting his wife that she has done this, or, you know, as soon as she gets off the phone, who are you speaking to? And she could be speaking to her mother, you know. Some men go to extremes. And the other extreme is, you know, no problem. Whatever you're doing, what are you doing? Oh, I'm chatting with my friend, you know, Ahmed online. Okay, I'm going to sleep. Come on now, brother. What do you mean your wife is chatting with someone on some other country online and you have no problem? Some men are like this. I trust my wife. My wife, I trust. This is nonsense. The shaitan is working with everyone. Yusuf alayhi salam was in a predicament. Had Allah not saved him, he would have went for it. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. He had the intention, but Allah took that away from him because of his righteousness in the prior times. This is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So who thinks that one of us is so righteous, wallah, he will never fall into the traps of the shaitan? Nonsense. Your wife cannot be conversing with any men, period. Period. Especially your brother. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not let men, do not enter upon women. One of the Sahaba said, what about the hamu? What about the brother, my brother? He said, al-hamu maut. Your brother, the brother-in-law, is death. That not only it is problematic, if your brother becomes so comfortable with your wife, this is death, according to the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning, don't ask about what will happen afterwards. Now, today in our culture, no problem. No problem. It is totally normal for the brothers, for the man's brother to be freely conversing with his wife. As if it is something that is totally natural and acceptable, because again, our culture says this is fine. And the people will think I'm odd if I were to implement Islam in my household. So I ignore Allah and His Messenger and I please my family members. Oh, you like them to converse with each other? No problem. Just don't be upset with me. What about Allah and His Messenger? ما في مشكلة. I will deal with it on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Ghafur al-Rahim. That's the attitude that the shaitan beautifies. But we need to be mindful of that. There's no such thing in Islam. Moving on. He's the one who speaks with his wife in a becoming manner, soft, with respect, and he always mentions her good traits and her good qualities. He doesn't, you know, curse her or say things that will hurt her feelings. You know how sensitive women are. He's the one who keeps hold of the secrets of the marriage. He doesn't go and broadcast everything that happens at home. You know, some men have this problem. They fight with the woman, they go to work, and you have maybe 5-6 brothers working in the office, and he publicizes to everyone in the office his problems with his wife at home. And this is unacceptable in Islam. You know, these are the secrets of the marriage need to remain in the household. He's the one who takes care of his wife and his children without laziness or excessiveness. He is the one who spends accordingly. He doesn't have israf, extravagance, and he's not miserly either. He's the one who works hard and he strives in order to make his family successful and happy, and he does not depend on others. He is the one who consults his wife. He consults his wife and he expresses his respect to her opinion, even if her opinion may not be the greatest opinion in the world. She may give you the wrong advice, but you don't tell her, what a silly advice of yours, you know, or something like that. You say, okay, that sounds good, whatever, because it's you can lie in these areas. These are among the exceptions made in Islam. You can lie to your wife. For example, if she cooked some food which tastes like fried frogs or baked butterflies, and you know, it's just something that you never want to eat again, but if she's been in the kitchen for the last 3 hours, you know, experimenting on all the ingredients that you have at home, so she presents the food to you, in Islam you are allowed to say, MashaAllah, very nice. Okay? Nice. Even if you don't like it. Why? To maintain harmony. Because if you were to tell her the truth, she will maybe be upset for 3 days. Right? So, you know, these are among the areas. Similarly, if the man, you know, looked like he, you know, he just attended a Halloween party, even though we don't celebrate Halloween, and his wife, you know, looks at him and he looks silly, she can tell him, okay, mashallah, now maybe you should wear the other shirt, but she doesn't tell him, what's wrong with you? You know, you look like you just came from World War III. There is World War III, but they don't publicize it. Anyways, so, you know, these are among the things which we should be, you know, we could be more lenient with. He is the one who's always looking good in front of his wife and smells good. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu an Abi, some of the Sahaba saw him adorning himself and looking nice and handsome. They said, you know, what are you doing? You're a man. He said, verily I like to beautify myself for my wife the same way I like her to beautify herself for me. Okay? So, you know, some of us, you know, think it's fine to be stinking and wearing lousy looking clothes, and his wife is supposed to love him 24/7, you know, because he's this, you know, Mr., you know, successful husband. No. She has the right also to smell good smell from you and good appearance, you know. Adorn yourself for your wife the same way you want her to adorn herself for you. He is the one who maintains the appearance of a man. He doesn't do things which will make him look lesser than a man in the household. He is the one who makes the nature of the relationship with his wife one which terminates his desires. Yani the wife has been given as a legal outlet for a man to fulfill their sexual desires. And this is, you know, this is the business that is done at home, and each one deserves this right equally. The man deserves it and so does the woman. And he is the one who, like I mentioned earlier, or like he mentioned earlier, anytime there are conflicts in the household, he keeps them within the family. Within the family, and he does not take them outside to the people. He doesn't get other people involved unless it's a scholar or a person of knowledge who may advise them according to the teachings of Islam. He is the one who's always educating himself in terms of knowing how to lead, as the Shaykh put it, the ship of the household. In order to lead, to be the captain, in other words, then he must be acquainted with the various things that are being presented to us on a daily basis in our lives. And last but not least, he is the one who commands his family to obey Allah. And he shows them how keen he is on doing so, and protecting them from the hellfire. And he does anything which is beneficial, whether it is providing them with books or tapes, or him being a good example himself by commanding them to do that which is good and forbidding them from that which is evil. And so we can replace our television set, which has the Cartoon Network 24/7, with an Islamic bookshelf in the house containing books and various tapes and good things to listen. And you kind of make prizes for the children. Okay, you give them a book to read, or you read the book and you say, I'm going to ask you questions. If you answer the questions correctly, then I will give you a gift. You know, we try to entertain them with things which will benefit them, as opposed to, you know, PlayStation 1 and 2 and 3, and I don't know how many numbers they will have. You know, maybe by 10 years we'll have PlayStation 3006, and then we have, you know, Xbox and Ybox and Zbox, and every day they come up with new things. And this is all the children know. This is all they know. And the father thinks, wallah, he loves his child. Okay, you passed in school, you got, you know, whatever, 80% on your exams, here's an Xbox, destroy your life. Okay? And, you know, inshallah, Allah will bless you and you'll be rightly guided. It doesn't work this way. We have to get involved. We have to give them alternatives. Everybody wants to take them with them, and we should take them to Jannah. Bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jal. The women, I don't know if there are any women here, but you can convey this to your wife, and it's recorded, so you can always download it and make sure she hears it later on. The woman is the one, the righteous woman is the one who always beautifies herself for her husband, and she makes sure that she's in a state of cleanliness and adornment in terms of her appearance and her house. Okay? Again, the house should be clean. She is the one who helps her husband be obedient to his parents and keep his kinship ties and aids him in doing good deeds and obedience to Allah. She is the one who obeys her husband as long as he does not obey her or command her to disobey Allah. And she accepts him as the leader, because Allah had given the man a degree. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And men have a degree over women. Not of dictatorship, but of rulership. Because any business in the world cannot function without a manager. If all the employees did what they want, and there was no reference to tell them how business is to be conducted, this business will fail. Because each employee has his own approach. So once there's an institute, there must be someone in charge. The house is an institute. Who's going to be in charge? The woman or the man? Naturally the man. Because Allah gave him first, they spend, it's their money, it's their house, their rent they're paying. Secondly, a man is more mentally stable than woman at the times of difficulty. Woman, when death news come, You look at the reaction of a man and a woman. A woman will fall apart. She will fall apart. A man maintains. He may cry, but he doesn't reach a point where he's lost his composure. A woman may totally act incorrectly. And so if decisions were given to her, she may make the wrong decision at the time of emotional stress. So then Allah gave the men the leadership. So the woman recognizes that, she doesn't try to compete with him as far as who's running the house. She raises the children upon righteousness and good character. And she does not leave them for the maids and others to raise her children on her behalf. She's the one who is content with what Allah had given her and her husband in terms of financial stability, be it a lot of money or otherwise. She is the one who knows how to arrange the affairs of her household and how to lead the household in a manner which is becoming. She is the one who has the good qualities and good character. She does not say anything that will hurt her husband, and she does not stress him out, especially a man after a long day of work. The last thing he needs when he comes home is more problems to be presented to him. So there's a time for everything. First lunch, then maybe a half hour nap. And then when he wakes up, say, by the way, we're having such and such problem, with such and such. Some women don't wait. As soon as he comes home, blah, 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 blah. He's like, man, I want to go back to work now. I don't want to hear it anymore. Okay, he's already been dealing with his mudir who lost his mind back at work. So, double trouble. So the woman knows that. She is the one who always welcomes her husband with a smile and a good word. And she just makes him feel that he is at home and not at a hotel. She is the one who respects his feelings and his emotions. She is the one who knows how to treat his family accordingly. Because sometimes the women, they declare war against her mother-in-law. And this is a big problem. This requires maybe hours of talk. The problem between the mother-in-law and the wife. And there's always these issues. A good woman is the one who doesn't make this a problem for the husband. She helps him be respectful to his parents. Rather, she herself respects them as well. She's the one who shows her husband always and forever that she loves him, that she's honored by being his wife, and even if she winds up exaggerating, okay? She may feel inside otherwise, but that's fine in terms of, as I mentioned earlier, Prophet ﷺ gave a concession in lying. Three, a person reconciling between two people, a husband lying to his wife, or a wife lying to her husband in these areas, or during the times of war. Again, when we say lying, it doesn't mean that a man cheats on his wife, and then he doesn't tell her, say, well, Islam allowed me to lie. Say, this is forbidden. We're speaking about petty issues, little issues of that will make sure that you guys are getting along in terms of food and appearance. As I mentioned to you earlier, she respects him now. We mentioned that. She is the one who protects herself in her appearance and in her conduct, so she does not embarrass him. And so, a classical example would be, when they go out of the house together, the woman lowers her gaze. Some women sit in the passenger seat with her husband and straight up look at men walking, crossing the street, or when she just stares at them right in front of her husband. I mean, this is unbelievable. A. B. The way she dresses. Again, we said before, if the woman dresses a certain way with her husband and she's trying to attract strange men, this is the biggest disrespect. And if the man allows it, then he has disrespected himself. She's not to blame anymore. She's to blame with Allah. But in terms of leadership, the man is to blame. How did you allow your wife to reach that point where she's wearing clothes that are revealing, and she's looking attractive even if she's wearing a jilbab? The jilbab is attractive itself with all the decoration and the adornment which they have put together today. So it becomes a problem for the man and his wife. And so she doesn't do that to him. Herself, she dresses accordingly so she will please Allah Azza wa Jal and consequently please her husband. She thanks him for all the favors that he does. Because, men do a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. The bad woman, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he told the woman that, "I see you that you constituted the biggest portion of the people of Jahannam." When they questioned why, he said, "Takfurunna al-ashira." You do not show appreciation after a long relationship. Meaning a man will do years of good service to his wife. One day he messes up. And she says to him, "You've never done anything good to me." You see? "You've never done anything good for me." So this is a quality that many women possess. And many women do not, alhamdulillah. Finally, she is the one who whose husband is pleased with her. So she works and she strives until she attains his pleasure. If she reaches that, then she shall enter Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whichever woman dies while her husband is pleased with her, she will enter Jannah. Very important. So last but not least, the Shaykh said that these are some of the qualities which will guarantee bi-idhnillah the harmony between the husband and his wife in the household. If each one played his role and conducted himself in this particular fashion, then this is inshallah a guarantee that there will be success between them and harmony bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Then he made a dua, which is the end of Surah Al-Furqan, as you all know it. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. O our Lord, grant us from among our wives and among our children the pleasure of the eye, something that makes us happy and content when we look at them, and make us to the righteous leaders. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. So inshallah ta'ala, next week, as they say, أنا مافي, right? Because as I mentioned before, there are other da'wah centers where the khutbah is held in English. The khutbah is in English. And by the grace of Allah, I and some other brothers deliver the khutbah there. So next Friday, inshallah, I will not be available. The following one, bi-idhnillah, unless anything else happens in the meantime, then inshallah, I'll be here, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, and we will deal with the other topic which we didn't deal with, the problems at the home, even though I think we touched upon it, and the one he delivered today, which is very important. Why angels do not enter our house. Why the angels do not enter our homes. And there are many reasons which probably most of us are suffering from, more or less. So inshallah ta'ala, we will deal with it at the right time. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.